WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? It is Monday, July 13th, 2015, and you are tuned into Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and we have a great show to start your week. Of course, we have some big news concerning Ariel Powers, MSU women's basketball player, who, of course, is overseas competing in the World University Games. Guess what, folks? Her team won gold this morning. Can you believe that? We'll talk about Ariel Powers and her tremendous play throughout this year's tournament. Also, some interesting news concerning Denzel Valentine of the MSU men's basketball team as he makes the University Games roster as well and will be representing his country. We'll also chat about Serena Williams and Novak Djokovic and their outstanding Wimbledon wins over the weekend. Also, the Detroit Tigers, as they hit the All-Star break, we'll give them our grades. And I tell you what, to give you a sneak peek, folks, my grade is not very good. Let's be honest here, looking at what took place this weekend. We'll also have weekend winners for you, as well as take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. If you have something that is itching on your sports noggin and you got to get it off your chest, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR, and I'll read your comments or tweets right here live on the air. But without further ado, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this July 13th. With a gold medal on the line, Ariel Powers and the USA Basketball Women's World University Games team took a three-point lead into the fourth quarter and then nearly doubled up Canada in the final 10 minutes, scoring 34 points in the period to secure an 82-63 triumph in the 2015 World University Games Championship game this morning in South Korea. Now, the gold medal is the USA Women's sixth straight and 10th overall in World University Games history. Now, Canada was able to tie the game, actually, at 41 points apiece with a shade under 4 minutes to go. Now, on the next possession, Ariel Powers took the ball to the hole and scored. While getting fouled, she would convert on the free throw that gave USA a 44-41 lead with 13:43 left in the game, and the United States would never trail again. And Powers balled out of control. She led the team with 27 points and 9 rebounds. My goodness. And Denzel Valentine, how about this? Michigan State basketball guard will play for the United States. He was one of 12 players named to the Pan American Games men's basketball team by Gonzaga coach Mark Few. Now, the team will play July 21st to the 25th in Toronto, starting with Group A preliminary games against Venezuela, Puerto Rico, and Brazil. Group B teams, include Argentina, Canada, Dominican Republic, and Mexico. All right, former Michigan State golfer and DeWitt native Liz Nagel wrapped up the U.S. Open with an even par round Sunday at Lancaster Country Club in Pennsylvania. The round of 70 was the second best of the U.S. Women's Open for Nagel, who was playing in just her second career LPGA Tour event. Now, Nagel finished her first career major in 63rd place at 16 over par. Nagel, who is in her debut season as a pro, had 3 birdies and 3 bogeys during her successful final round. That helped her bounce back from a third round where she finished 13 over par. On November 6th, there will be a clash within the Beilein family. Michigan basketball coach John Beilein will face his son Patrick, who is the head coach of Lemoyne, where his father coached and is a member of the school's Hall of Fame. Now, this won't be the first matchup for the Beilein, however, just the first as head coaches. Their teams actually faced off in 2011 when Patrick was an operations director for Bradley when the Braves came to Ann Arbor. That's going to be pretty cool stuff. Mark that on your calendar, folks. The Detroit Tigers, they lost their third straight game against the Minnesota Twins yesterday and are now 44-44 heading into this week's All-Star break. Now, Tigers right-hander Shane Green struggled yesterday, allowing 7 runs over 4 2/3 innings. Anibal Sanchez will take the mound for the Tigers as they return from the All-Star break with a 3-game series against Baltimore beginning on Friday night at 7:08 Eastern time. Now, Sanchez finished the first half 8-7 with a 4.63 ERA, winning 5 of his last 6 starts entering the break. Concerning the Lansing Lugnuts, Ryan McBroom, he led the franchise in league record for hits in a game, finishing 6-for-6, but the Dayton Dragons, Argenius Alizarro, knocked off a walk-off single to cap a 3-run 13th and knock off the Lansing Lugnuts, who are 10-9 right now. 10-9 was the final score, Sunday at 5th Third Field. Now, Lansing looks to avoid a 4-game sweep tonight at 7 p.m., sending out University of Florida product Justin Schaefer against Dragons junior Murillo. Serena Williams defeated promising Spaniard Garbin Muguruza 6-4, 6-4 in Southwest London to complete the Serena Slam, winning 4 straight majors for the second time, and is now well on her way to making more history at the season's final Grand Slam. And defending champion Novak Djokovic saw off 7-time champion Roger Federer in 4 sets to win his 3rd Wimbledon and 9th Grand Slam title. And Jordan Spieth won the John Deere Classic yesterday in a playoff, while fellow young stud Ricky Fowler took the championship at the Scottish Open. This week, of course, is the British Open. Well, that concludes your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. But hey, without further ado, it is about that time to start the show.
Good. It's been a little while, and you really appreciate holding it, but I have to give thanks to Jehovah God for today. I just really relied on his strength, and Gabin, she played so well. I didn't even know it was over because she was fighting so hard in the end. I was like, okay, do I have to serve again? So congratulations. Don't be sad. You'll be holding this trophy very, very soon. Believe me, you're a great champ. So
No, I mean,
I'm just happy, it was such a great match. And thanks to everyone in my box, my coach, my mom, my sisters, my friends for always coming out and supporting. And I love you all so much. I couldn't have done this without you. So thank you so much.
What is up, beautiful people? It is Monday. Man, did that weekend fly by or what? My goodness, it still feels like it should be like Saturday right now, right? Hopefully you guys had a great weekend. We are back and in full effect right here in the WKAR Current Sports Studios. It's great to be back. I missed you. I certainly miss you. I want to invite the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer here at WKAR's Current Sports, my man Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing, brother?
All right, man? Yeah. I like the intro that you chose for today. Appropriate. Some Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, of course.
Exactly.
Snoop Dogg, as he's known in the track. And, yeah, it's fitting because Snoop Dogg was, of course, at Common Ground this weekend.
Yes.
I didn't get the chance to go, but I have seen him before. He puts on a show, let's put it that way.
And you know what? Yeah, I didn't choose that intro for, just by coincidence, right? Of course, Snoop was at Common Ground. And I didn't get a chance to go, Isaac. You know, I actually played 18 holes on Saturday. I was telling you before we hit the airwave today. I played 18 holes. It was a great outing. I actually went to Hawk Hollow Golf Course here in the Mid-Michigan area, which is one of Terry Kilday's beautiful golf courses that he has here in Mid-Michigan. Mid-Michigan is just a good place to golf, man. There are fantastic courses everywhere. One of my favorite has to be Eagle Eye. I love Hawk Hollow as well, but I haven't played Hawk Hollow in a while, actually dating back to the beginning of summer last year. And I went out for the first time with my frat brother, Anton Woods, who's a great friend of mine, man. And it was actually Anton's very first time hitting the golf course. And I tell you what, he didn't do too bad. He didn't do bad. Because I tell you what, I've been out with one-time golfers before. And I tell you what, I've seen worse, Isaac. But it was a great time being out there. But Isaac, I just got totally bitten up by the mosquitoes that were out there. I mean, I can't recall a year where mosquitoes have been this bad in the summertime. Probably since, you know, I was like in middle school. I remember when the West Nile virus was going around. Remember that whole thing, that whole epidemic?
Yeah.
And, you know, people were like, oh, man, spraying themselves down and bathing in off-body spray to make sure they didn't get bit because that virus was going around. And I remember that summer, it was really, really bad. It had to be like when I was in like eighth grade. So I'm guessing like 2005. But it is really, really bad this year, man. I have at least, if I had to count, I would have to say I have at least 15 to 20 mosquito bites based on the weekend alone. And the majority of those coming from when I went out and golfed on Saturday, dude. I'm itching everywhere right now, brother.
Yeah, I know, Al. I thought they were bad in Louisiana, as you'd expect, it being so swampy and humid there.
Yeah.
It doesn't compare to up here. I wrote a monologue on Facebook on Saturday, which was a declaration of war. It really was. I said, I'm sorry. Because as a little kid, I used to not kill insects. I was like, they're living. They're not bothering us.
Oh, wow.
All that good
thing. Okay, like peace to the world. You know, save
exactly.
Every living thing. Okay. Gotcha.
I was a nice pacifist little kid.
Yeah.
But I told them in my Facebook post, I'm not sure if they can read, but I said, y'all made me do this. I said, you know, I just got to my boiling point. It's over, you know.
It's bad. It's bad, dude. Like, I like bathed and off when I got back. I should have took some off with me on that 18-hole adventure on Saturday. But, hey, that was just me not even thinking. So, but, hey, hopefully you guys out there aren't getting bit up too much based on this whole mosquito epidemic that we are currently experiencing. But in the world of sports, it was one fantastic weekend, folks. First, as you just heard, Serena Williams. Oh, my gosh. Is she good or what? And this is why I think, Isaac, that she is the best athlete in the world, bar none, right now. I mean, how is she dominating the world of tennis at 33 years old, not even giving the competition a breath? It's amazing to see her do what she does. And, you know, it was really just to no one's surprise, really, her pulling out that final match against Garbiñe Muguruza, 6-4, 6-4 in Southwest London to complete what they dub is now the Serena Slam, winning four straight majors. And really, if she continues to triumph at the U.S. Open, and I tell you what, the odds may be stacked in her favor, given that, you know, she is a three-time defending champion at the U.S. Open. She will become the first player since Steffi Graf in 1988 to complete the calendar year Grand Slam. It's been since 1988. It's been that long. And now Serena, the clear favorite to do so if she pulls out the U.S. Open. But it's really remarkable watching her at work. She has the most powerful serve that we've ever seen in the women's game and in tennis history, arguably. I mean, she's unbelievable at what she does and the fact that she's doing it at 33 years old. And I remember not too long ago, Isaac, if you remember, if we could just rewind the clock for a second, do you remember when, you know, Serena Williams, she was, you know, embarking on different endeavors in her career? She was doing different sponsorships, even dipped and dabbled a bit in modeling. And she was on different TV shows. And there were many in the sports world that questioned Serena Williams' focus within the world of tennis. Is she locked in, or is she kind of just putting tennis on the back burner? And she even had an interesting comment on how tennis wasn't becoming fun to her anymore. And I remember during that whole period, there were people out there and individuals out there saying that Serena Williams has lost it. Her focus isn't in the world of tennis anymore, and we're going to start to see a downward trend happen. But yeah. Serena Williams has hit another gear. She's hit another gear, and all of that talk now is out the window. You don't even hear people even bring up that moment in her career anymore because she's silencing them with what she is doing on the course. It's truly remarkable.
Oh, it's unprecedented, really. Because Serena, first off, to see somebody in her physical condition, you talked about her being the greatest athlete in the world, that's hard to dispute. She's also the greatest women's tennis player of all time. And Saturday, you know, you look at her win, there's nothing you can do to beat her. Here's what, I mean, Garbine Muguruza, who won second, here's what she said. It's hard to stay with Serena. If you lose 2 points, you shouldn't lose. You lose the match. I think I fight all I can fight. That's it. Because Serena pounces on every single mistake, and she doesn't make mistakes. Her serves hit a 125 miles per hour. I'm not sure if there are props allowed in baseball, but if so, sign her up because the Tigers could use that pitching.
I'm telling you. And, yeah, we'll get to the Tigers later on, right? They are the complete opposite of what Serena Williams is doing right now. But it's truly remarkable. But you know what? Amidst everything that took place this weekend, and, you know, looking on social media, my Twitter blew up, my Instagram blew up, my Facebook page blew up with great, great kind words, you know, talking about Serena Williams and her accomplishment and her place in sports history. But there were individuals out there that their comments and tweets really disturbed and irked me. And more specifically, what I'm talking about, even when you not even to equate this to just individuals hiding behind keyboards, you know what I mean, and people out in the social media world, but the New York Times really disappointed me and got under my skin based on a certain article that came out during this weekend, and you know, with Serena embarking on this Wimbledon win. If you could just bear with me, Isaac, with this really quickly here. The New York Times on Saturday came under fire on Twitter for a tone-deaf article that really essentially condemns the physique of tennis star Serena Williams. When you look at Serena Williams, Isaac, first off, I think she is unbelievably gorgeous. She is a goddess. I mean, my goodness. Whoever is able to marry that woman will be a very lucky man. When I look at Serena Williams, her physique, I mean, she is such a physical specimen. She's got, you know, rock-solid arms. But at the same time, she has curves. I mean, she's unbelievable. I mean, if there's the ideal body out there for a woman, I mean, you could argue that it's Serena Williams. Any woman would love to have the body of Serena Williams. You would think. But the New York Times had an interesting take on her overall physique. Just to read a quick article here. It says, quote, "The critique uses the lens of top female tennis players who refuse to look like Williams, who will be vying for that Wimbledon title against Gabby Maruza." So this is before they took the course against each other on Saturday. Now, the article says that in spite of Williams' success, her body image issues among female tennis players persist, forcing many players to avoid bulking up. It goes on to say, quote, "Williams has large biceps and a mold-breaking muscular frame, which packs the power and athleticism that have dominated women's tennis for years. Her rivals could try to emulate her physique, but most of them choose not to." And then a report goes on to say, this is coming from, it says, Tomasz Wikorowski, I think I'm saying that wrong, but I'll proceed. That's actually the coach of Garzinka Radziwanka, who is listed at 5 feet 8 and 123 pounds, says, quote, "It's our decision to keep her as the smallest player in the top 10. Because first of all, she's a," and then it goes on to talk about, you know, how her being a woman. It goes on to say, quote, "Because first of all, she's a woman and she wants to be a woman." So it's basically attacking Serena Williams for looking like the physical specimen she is. And the reason why she's so dominant is because other players don't want to bulk up and have a quote-unquote masculine body image like Serena Williams. I thought that the article had a lot of racial undertones, a lot of gender-driven undertones as well, that were totally unfair and totally unjustified. I was totally upset. And the New York Times, justifiably, they got a lot of bashing on Twitter and in social media and across multiple platforms, you know, whether it be ESPN, Fox Sports as well, just totally bashing the article. How could someone even say those type of things? Just really shows that there still are a lot of idiots in the world we live in today.
And now it's unfortunate. Well, first off, I would like to say this. You know, I would have a six-pack and 10-diameter biceps, but I just don't choose to. I don't think it looks good. You know, it's I could so easily, really, but I just choose not to.
I can sense the sarcasm bleeding through the glass right now.
Exactly. It's a little bit vitriolic.
Right.
No, Serena put in so much work for her body, which does win her tennis matches. No question. It gives her an advantage that for some is insurmountable. But that's part of the game. She worked her butt off for it. Like you said, she's very attractive. It does not take away from her looks. And I'm not sure why that's a common perception that women can't be athletic and still look good or, you know, muscular. No, Serena, like J.K. Rowling actually said on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw her
this
tweet.
This is excellent. Because somebody was harassing Serena, said, you know, oh, Serena's only so good because she's built like a man. J.K. Rowling tweeted a couple of pictures of Serena Williams looking beautiful in a dress and said, yeah, because my husband looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect response
and
from a great daughter.
And she called him an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was, you know, she trolled the troll. I mean, that was excellent. But yeah, Serena is the best in the game, still looks great. And no, that women should not be discouraged from going after a body like that, especially for athletic performance.
I really think, Isaac, it comes down to popular culture's perception of beauty at the end of the day. In today's society, we live in a certainly a physically conscious society in which when you talk about the beauty of a female or the beauty of a male and their body type, historically, a woman's body is looked at as slim, slender, not muscular, you know, not because a lot of people look at Serena Williams' body and say, okay, that's too muscular. It looks like a man's body. That's all about the lens that you perceive beauty to be based on person to person. For me, when I look at Serena Williams, her body is absolutely gorgeous. She's a physical specimen who her physical prowess is dominating the sport because of her strength, her agility. She has molded, just like you said, Isaac, she has molded her body to dominate the game of tennis while also still maintaining beauty, because there is beauty in that statement, just in general. But a lot of people don't perceive it to be that way. And it is just so annoying to see the idiots out there on Twitter and social media alike just don't know what they're talking about and just talking out the rear end, basically. So, Serena, keep doing your thing. It's so interesting. Again, you bring up the J.K. Rowling tweet, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. And I really think that Serena Williams' greatness is underappreciated. And if you look at, and this is something that really upsets me, Maria Sharapova, right? Maria Sharapova, she's a great tennis player, ranked in the top 10, but Serena Williams has been dominating Maria Sharapova for quite some time now. Get this, and I think this also has to do with the same conversation because of Serena Williams being marketed, you know, based on her beauty. And again, that varies on perception. Maria Sharapova is very beautiful. She doesn't have those bulging muscles and is not the physical specimen that is a Serena Williams. And what she's done on the course doesn't even come close to what Serena Williams has done in the past 5, 6, 7 years now. Maria Sharapova last year, Isaac, based on endorsements alone, garnered $22 million. While on the other hand, Serena Williams, who has dominated the sport, has been the number one tennis player in the game for quite some time now, she only was able to garner $11 million. That's half, less than half of what, it's actually half of what Maria Sharapova garnered in endorsements last year. Does that make any sense? Any sense at all?
Oh, well, of course, Maria Sharapova also dabbles in modeling, and she's very attractive as well. That's her choice, and that's just fine. But like you said, we're basing them off of, their tennis performance, their on-court performance. And Serena is superior in every way. Sharapova could not hang with Serena when they played.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that game, 6-2 and 6-4 in terms of sets. Serena wiped the floor with Sharapova. Serena has 3 singles titles already in this year. She's outstanding. She's record-breaking. No, it doesn't make any sense that really any female athlete should be paid more than Serena Williams, because what other athlete, or really athlete, what other athlete has done more, has accomplished more than Serena, has dominated their sport with that same level of skill and consistency as well?
Yeah, and I certainly think that we need to talk about it more. And Garner, you know, Maria Sharapova, she's number two in the world right now. But Serena Williams, again, she's dominated historically, has been the best women's tennis player in the game for a while now. I think we should be giving her more attention. And we should be seeing her face more and more in the stratosphere, more so than we do right now. Hopefully it'll change. Hopefully it will change. But it just really upset me, especially an accredited, you know, medium like the New York Times would actually publish an article that stupid. It just really upset me. Folks, again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We're taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. And you know what? I want to do a quick flashback interview to when we had actually had Michigan State women's tennis coach Simone Jargeen on the show. Simone, who of course follows the game very intently, who also was a very good college tennis player in her own right. We actually had Simone Jargeen on the show not too long ago to talk about the greatness of Serena Williams, and here's what she had to say.
She's just athletic, like the human being that she is. I think she's just really genetically the woman is something, because nobody in this pro tour can serve that hard and that consistent in the women's tour. Like, nobody can, which is a huge part of the game. She is also, her technique is very simple, and she's able to take serves early. I mean, there's so many things, like, technique-wise that she does that are just, you know, they separate her from the rest. But then there's also the fact that, you know, when you have that much experience, and I think that from a young age, she's always been told that she's the best, and she believes in it, and it goes long ways when you have confidence. I think, I don't know Tiger Woods. I guess I don't follow golf too much, but I know that when he was on top of his game, he was playing amazing and doing wonderful things, and he probably had a ton of confidence, but he hasn't had confidence, and this shows in his game. And I think you can't substitute, you know, you can't put a sub in. There is no sub.
It is
you. And if you can't do it, you can't do it. I mean, there's a lot of other women, different times also, I think the tennis was different, but how long Serena has played for, and has managed to stay on top, you know, like you said, she's 33 years old. I think she's got to be one of the best, and she will be breaking, you know, she is going to be, she's not stopping anytime soon. You know, I think that she's still got a couple years, at least, you know, her sister's still playing.
Right.
She's still doing well. So I really think that she will stay around. Who knows, you know, it really sky's the limit for this woman. And like I said, she's got a big game, and she can do a lot more. What I like is that the more women are stepping up and being able to challenge her, and that's something that will keep her in the game.
Right.
Because I think when it becomes so, not boring, but it's almost like she beats the same women, plays the same women over and over again.
Right.
There is no challenge. So I think that, you know, and when you think about Steffi Graf, and even like Chris Evert and Martina Navratilova, they were always playing the same women. You know, Monica Seles, it was always the same matches. They played each other so many times. Where Serena now has had throughout her career so many rivals, and that's great for the sport.
Yeah, it certainly is, and it definitely more intriguing. I tell you that. So. Will she be top five? Will she be the greatest of all time when her career is done? What do you think?
I think so, especially if she stays. If she plays a couple more years, you know, I give her 2-3 more years, and she'll break. She'll have the most. I mean, I think she will just. Who knows? Who knows what she'll do? There's still 2 more tournaments. Who knows?
Right. Exactly.
She can finish with a Grand Slam, you know, so that would be something.
Yeah, again, that's Simone Jarjean, who actually is entering her eighth season as the women's tennis head coach at Michigan State University. Simone also, I mean, she was quite the tennis player herself when she was in college at Fresno State, at one time ranking number 14 nationally. So she certainly knows her stuff. But I will say this, Isaac, you know, looking back when we had Simone on the show and hearing her comments there, I will say that, you know, she made an interesting point because she said that the competition is getting better within women's tennis. But I can argue the counterpart here because I think that Serena Williams is just completely dominating the field now. I can't come up with another name out there that has legitimately pushed Serena Williams to the brink, especially throughout this year where she has, you know, now won her fourth straight major. I can't put another name out there that is really challenging Serena Williams. And that's a good point that Simone makes, because if you are continuing to dominate a sport where, you know, it's becoming so easy that it's just a walk in the park. Now, I'm not saying that these majors have been a walk in the park for Serena, but she's making it look that way. At some point, for any athlete that is great, it's legitimate to bring up the argument that possibly they get bored. Michael Jordan is a perfect example of that. Remember when Michael won, you know, back-to-back-to-back NBA championships, you know, clearly the greatest of all time the greatest in the game at the time, and was completely dominating the sport, you know, and then he comes out and, you know, after his dad passes, of course, a lot of this had to do with his dad passing, and he wanted to fulfill his dad's dream of seeing Michael play baseball, but he also came out in that press conference and said, you know, I've just about accomplished everything in the game that I've wanted to accomplish, and I want to embark on a new challenge, and I think the game of baseball can provide that challenge. So he left the game of basketball to play baseball, ideally for part of the reason being because he had done everything that he wanted to do at the time in the game. Now, eventually he got bored and you know, got that basketball itch once again and came back to the game. But it is legit to bring up the fact that if you dominate something for so long, you can hit a wall where it's like, okay, what's the next challenge here? I'm getting kind of bored here. So I don't know. I'm interested to see if Serena ever has that mentality, if she continues to dominate the way she is, because it is a legit conversation.
Al, she is going on 34, though. So
exactly,
she's
right.
Getting up there a little bit. She's still going very strong, obviously. Nobody can touch her. Nobody can approach her. But at the same time, eventually, before too long, in the foreseeable future, we'll see some sort of decline. So, in that case, yeah, but you're exactly right, because Maria Sharapova was kind of hailed as this heir to the throne for women's tennis. Of course, Serena was still great at that time, but Sharapova was the up-and-coming youngster, and we look 5 years down the road from when she first got famous, and still Serena is just dominating the game of women's tennis. And when you look at tennis also, when you look at the past, it's not like women's tennis has a poor history. It's very rich. Of course, Billie Jean King, among others. So, yeah, I think the competition right now is worse than before just because Serena is so dominant. However, the talent level is still, of course, very high.
Kind of reminds me of when Tiger Woods is just totally dominating the field back in his heyday when he was just, you know, blowing out people by, you know, like 15 strokes at major tournaments. So interesting stuff. Again, folks, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Call in. Again, we're taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk about Denzel Valentine and Ariel Powers, two Michigan State ballers who are making it happen at the national level of basketball. You don't want to miss that chat. We'll also give you our grades for the Detroit Tigers as they wrap up things approaching the All-Star break. All of that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. You are tuned into Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on this Monday. July 13th. We also, of course, have our fantastic engineer, the man behind the glass of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. You know, Isaac, you know, I'm pretty excited about tonight, but also I'm a little weary because tonight, of course, the Home Run Derby in baseball takes place, but it's looking like there's a little rain in the forecast out in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's actually expected to be severe thunderstorms throughout the night. And, you know, this could be the first Home Run Derby rainout to happen since, I think it's at 1988. So how unfortunate would that be, man? I'm looking forward to the Home Run Derby. I always love watching the Home Run Derby.
Now, like we were saying last week, it's the best orchestrated event in all of all-star sports. It's so entertaining. Every year you see something new and something old, and it's a great reminder of past. And, I mean, it's just fun watching guys hit the ball 450 feet. There's something about it.
It's something. It's you know, my jaw is on the floor every year I see these guys go at it. And you talk about some of these names. I mean, Albert Pujols. I mean, Jack Peterson, Josh Donaldson, Todd Frazier, Anthony Rizzo, Prince Fielder, for goodness sake. A guy who used to, you know, he won a couple home run derbies in his day with the Tigers. So I'm looking forward to it, but I will be a little bit sad and down and out if it does, you know, get a rain out for tonight. So I'm hoping that it doesn't happen. I think we need to do the rain dance after we get off the show today, just so I have something to watch on TV tonight. So I'll be pretty bored if that doesn't happen. Again, folks, call in 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at AlMartinWKR. I do have one very intellectual comment right here from one of our listeners, Jessica. She weighs in and wants to say, definitely agree with you guys. Society and culture really do have a lot to do with people's perspectives of a woman's body. I think other athletes or whoever else is downing Serena are just jealous. It's not just her body and physique that causes her to win. It's her talent and her drive as well. They don't have her beauty, drive, power, body, or success. They need to either appreciate her beauty completely or leave it alone. Hashtag my opinion. Very interesting take, and I think that kind of echoes both of our sentiments on that take, Isaac.
Very accurate. Couldn't have said it better myself, and in fact said it in a lot more words. So
yeah,
spot on.
Very spot on. All right, let's talk about two Spartans who are making it happen at the national, or I should say international level, okay, representing their respective countries. First off, Ariel Powers. MSU women's basketball player Ariel Powers is spectacular. My goodness. I mean, 27 points and 9 rebounds at a game. You know, I actually, I'm friends with Ariel on Facebook, and I saw her status when I woke up this morning to actually prep for the show, because I didn't know that the game today, the gold medal game today, was taking place at 5 a.m., man. I'm kind of, you know, it's kind of a catch-22, because if I would have woke up to watch it, I would have been very glad to see Ariel Powers throw up 27 points. But at the same time, I might have been a bit tired, you know, coming in today at work. I probably would have been drinking 2 cups of coffee instead of 1 right now. But man, oh man, I'm going to have to catch a replay of it if they even show it on TV, because she was absolutely spectacular. A gold medal on the line, Ariel Powers and the USA Basketball Women's World University Games team. It took a 3-point lead in the fourth quarter, then nearly doubled Canada in the final 10 minutes, scoring 34 points in the period to secure an 82-63 triumph in the 2015 World University Games Championship game this morning. Now, the gold medal is the USA women's 6th straight and 10th overall in World University Games history. Canada, this is a pretty crucial moment in the game, actually, Isaac. Canada was able to tie the game at 41 points apiece, with a shade under 4 minutes left to play. On the very next possession, Powers took the ball to the hole and scored while getting fouled. She would convert the free throw, so for a 3-point play, gave the USA a 44-41 lead with 13:43 left in the game, and the United States would never trail again. That's what we've been seeing from Ariel Powers on the hardwood here on campus since she's been a player here. She is absolutely unbelievable. Ariel Powers is one of those players that you look at, and, you know, I've been covering her, what now, going on 3 years, you know, and, man, she is probably, you know, out of the athletes that I've covered, women's basketball players that I've covered, she is clearly the best. Clearly the best. She goes out there and just balls. There's nothing that she can't do. She can defend. She can shoot the jump shot. She's improved on her three-point shot. She probably the best thing that she does is she can drive the ball and get out on the break and convert as well. She's just a scoring juggernaut. I mean, and again, you know, it really puts it in perspective because we see her compete in the Big Ten left and right, and we've seen her put on these performances in a green and white jersey. But it's saying a lot, and it really speaks volumes to her game when she can put on a USA jersey, play with some of the best talent that the women's game has to offer at the collegiate level, and go out there and outshine, ideally, every single one of them. 27 points? 27 points is what we're talking about here, folks. In a gold medal game, a championship game, 9 rebounds, leading the team. That says a lot about the type of player that she is, and really the type of player that we get to see. And we kind of take it for granted, I think, you know, looking at Ariel Powers on a nightly basis right here at Michigan State's campus.
Oh, this isn't a rarity either. Powers did this throughout the tournament successively, game after game. When you look at her semifinal performance, maybe even more impressive, 24 and 14 boards against Japan in a 102-98 wins. These aren't just stats either. These are crucial points that come in clutch moments in the most crucial of games. Mm-hmm. Because the game I mentioned with 24 and 14, that's the semifinals. 27 points, that's the finals. And not, like you said, she's so multifaceted. Not just 27 points, but 8 of 8 shooting from the line.
Right.
2 assists, 3 block shots, 9 of 15. That's efficient. She did it in the clutch. And Powers is just phenomenal. Can't wait to see her in the WNBA.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She also led the team in scoring for the tournament with 18 points per game. And talk about efficiency, she shot a little over 50% shooting from the floor and averaged 6 rebounds per game in 6 games. In the U.S., they didn't even drop a game throughout the entire tournament. Of course, they were 6-0 acquire that gold medal. But it says a lot, you know, about Ariel Powers and, you know, just the type of talent that she is. So, and then you're looking at the program here at Michigan State, her talent mixed with, of course, Tori Jankowska, who's also a fantastic player. I've always said, I mean, arguably, they're the best tandem in the Big Ten. Those two players, I mean, they score. Scoring is what they do. And it's really interesting to see those two dynamics play with each other. And I've also talked to Susie Merchant about this. When you have those two players who can score really on their own, what type of a balance do you find with them both on every possession offensively down the court? I mean, you know, does Powers deserve to get more shots? Does Jankowska deserve to get more shots? And it's really interesting because looking at last year, of course, they were laden with injuries. They had, you know, a player mid-year decide to leave the program. There was a lot of drama on the team last year, not just with the player leaving, but also when it comes to injuries. They've been dealing with the injury bug for, you know, the past 2 seasons now. And, you know, Powers and Jankowska and other players alike had to play a lot of minutes. And you started to really see that wear and tear on those players as the season went on. And I really think that this upcoming year, if they stay healthy, knock on wood for a Susie Merchant team, if they stay healthy, this team has the potential to really go deep in the NCAA tourney. Last year, of course, I mean, with those injuries and so on and so forth, they didn't even make the tourney. I mean, they just struggled. They really, 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 really struggled. You know, with Powers coming back, I mean, winning a gold medal, she's only getting better. She is only getting better, folks. And I think when you find that balance, it's a magical thing in basketball where you have a player or players who can score, but also are able to balance that scoring with getting their teammates involved in certain stretches of the game. That's called basketball maturity. And that's something I'm also going to be looking forward to seeing in the likes of Jankowska and Powers next year.
And this is a team with great chemistry as well. We saw yesterday, after Powers, of course, won gold, Susie Merchant tweeted out, "Our girl, Ariel Powers, looks amazing in gold," with a picture attached. Like, that's just great to see a team just gel and all be friends. That's important. It really is, because too many teams are disjointed and everything, and they just can't find how to win together. Mm-hmm. Like you said, MSU's women's team has unselfish players, they've got experience, and they've got the talent. I mean, that's evident. So, no, the future looks bright. I'm excited to watch this next season.
And how about Denzel Valentine? Denzel Valentine will be playing for the United States as well. The Michigan State basketball guard was one of 12 players named to the Pan American Games men's basketball team by Gonzaga coach Mark Few. Valentine said in a statement, quote, first, thanks to my family, teammates, coaches, and close friends for the motivation and support. I couldn't have done it without them. Second, thanks to the coaching staff and the USA Basketball Committee for selecting me and giving me an opportunity to represent the country in a positive way. I'm going to work my hardest to take full advantage of the opportunity ahead and try to win a gold medal for our country. Valentine, of course, tallied 14.5 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists in 33 minutes per game in his junior year with the Spartans, which, of course, clinched their 7th Final Four berth in the Tom Izzo era this past season. Denzel Valentine, he's a player, man. You know, sometimes you really, really love him, and sometimes you really, really despise him throughout a game because he can make plays that will have your jaw on the floor, your eyes popping out of your head. He's got great court vision. He's improved on his jump shot throughout his career. You know, he's a guy who can burn you in a lot of ways. But speaking of burning you, he can also burn you in a negative way when it comes to his turnovers. That's something he's battled throughout his entire career here for Michigan State. Valentine is a player who I really think, Isaac, if he limits those turnovers and continues to bulk up and add different facets to his game, he really has a shot at the NBA. I've always said that about Denzel Valentine. I think that the fact that he is one of 12 players to represent the USA in the World University Games speaks to the talent of a Denzel Valentine. And I think the offseason, I think this is one of the most important stretch for a player playing college basketball, because during this stretch is where you work on your game and develop your skills. You know, we were at the Moneyball last week and we saw Bryn Forbes and Matt Costello. Matt Costello is working on his three-point shot. He's added that to his game. Looking forward to see how that transitions on the collegiate court. Bryn Forbes is bulked up, added 15 pounds of muscle. This period, which seems, you know, which is downtime for us fans because we don't get to see these players on a regular basis, game in and game out. This downtime for a college player is so valuable because it's where you look at your game and look at what you did last season. And you hit that gym harder than ever to try and improve next year. And the fact that Denzel Valentine is going to be playing with some of the best in college basketball and playing under Gonzaga coach Mark Few and competing against other countries, it's going to expand his game and grow his game, which is going to be tremendously beneficial for next year's MSU men's basketball team, because he's going to be and looked at as really the primary leader, if you ask me.
Well, Al, first off, Mark Few is a terrific coach. You look at him, and I put him in the company with Tom Izzo and all the others, because what he's done with Gonzaga, transforming them from a mid-major team that could upset one or two people
right,
to a perennial contender, is absolutely incredible. And then you go ahead and you scroll down this roster list for Team USA. It's actually pretty impressive. Denzel's with good company because Anthony Randolph played at LSU. Shout out to him. And actually was a high NBA draft pick. Didn't totally work out, but he had a couple of good years. And then Ryan Holland, still in the NBA. Ron Baker for Wichita State, the charismatic but modest sharpshooter.
Mm-hmm.
And then, more than anything else, I got to shout out Melo Tremble. Everybody remembers him from Maryland.
I love him.
Who was just crossing and confusing the Spartans and would drain the shot. He would have been a top 10 draft pick, I think, if he would have gone out after his freshman year.
I think so as well, yeah.
So Denzel, it speaks highly of him that he was selected for this honor, and he should have been too, because Denzel's improved his performance every year. Like you said, he makes some perplexing plays, some plays that Izzo just has to have his head and his hands over, because why would you do that? Why would you pass it through a double team? But
yeah,
he's got skill too.
He certainly does. And I think, if you look at Denzel's statistics over his, 3 years so far at Michigan State, he has cut down on his turnover numbers. But this thing about Denzel, Denzel's turnovers, even though he's cut down on them, his turnovers look so bad because last year his turnovers would come at such crucial moments. Those timely turnovers where you got the lead and a turnover and giving the ball to the other team could really cost you the game. Those are the types of turnovers Denzel Valentine would make, even though he would cut down statistically on those numbers. So this is going to mature his game. I'm playing with, you know, guys like Melo Trimble and Bobby Brown and Ron Baker, all those guys. It's going to mature his game, and that's only going to help, not hurt, the MSU men's basketball team next year. Exciting stuff, and congrats to Denzel Valentine.
And now there aren't too many pure point guards on that roster either, so I'm excited to see Denzel get a few of those reps because we saw him take over the point forward role a little bit more, and he was really effective, averaging 4.3 assists a game, upping his scoring average too. He can control the game. Like you said, it's just a matter of cutting down those turnovers.
It certainly is. All right, let's hit our second break, Isaac. When we come back, we will talk about the Detroit Tigers and give our all-star break grade when looking at the first half of the season for the Tigers. Also, we'll have weekend winners and so much more, even though it's only 9 minutes left. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. After a 7-1 loss to the Minnesota Twins to cap off the first half of the year, I tell you what, Victor Martinez had really a blunt diagnosis for what the team has been going through and what is needed after this first half break. He went on to say, quote, play better. It's simple. Play better. Play better. Be better. Pitch better. Better defense. If anyone wants to win, especially a championship, we have to play better. You can't win the way we're playing with the way we're playing right now. It's simple. That's what Martinez had to say after yesterday's loss. The Detroit Tigers, they limped into the All-Star break with their fourth loss in six games and their third straight to Minnesota. Now, before the game, manager Brad Ausmus said players look at the All-Star break like a kid looks at summer vacation. So it's safe to say the team is welcoming the time off. But gosh, when you analyze what has gone wrong for the Detroit Tigers in this recent stretch of games, Isaac, I mean, you can't help. If you are a Detroit Tigers fan, you can't help but to pull your hair out. And there is really nothing that you can harp on. Because I always say this, I mean, again, a baseball season is long. I get it. But if you have any sense of hope that a season is going to turn around, there has to be at least one or two things that you can look at to say, okay, there's hope in this area, X, Y, and Z. Or look at this area. Look at this. They're doing this outstanding. If they continue this, maybe it'll have a trickle-down effect. There right now is nothing that I look at on this Detroit Tigers team that gives me any hope that they can turn this thing around. I get it. It's early. But right now, Isaac, they are not playing good baseball in any area. The starting pitching, up and down. Look at Shane Green, Alfredo Simon. They've chucked it up and mucked it up. Justin Verlander, who actually had, JV, had a pretty good start over the weekend. Pretty solid. But what happens? The bullpen lets a quality start from Verlander slip away, giving up a 5-run lead in the 9th inning. 5 runs is what the Tigers led by, and they gave it up. Are you kidding me? I couldn't believe that. I walked away from the television saying, the Detroit Tigers have this in the bag. Let me go do some grocery shopping. Then my phone blows up and they lose the game. Are you kidding me? Dave Dombrowski has done absolutely nothing to address the bullpen since the dinosaurs roamed the earth. The batting. Right now you got Miguel Cabrera out. I think he's, got like 3 or 4 more weeks left until he comes back. And the Detroit Tigers are struggling at bat. Again, the defense has been okay, pretty solid. I think, if anything, you could look at the defense and say, okay, maybe the Detroit Tigers outfield is playing stellar. Or not, I won't even use, it's hard for me to even use the word stellar when talking about the Tigers. They're playing solid. But right now, it is bad, Isaac. If you look at it, you know, they're closer to fifth place, which is actually 2 games, then first place. 8.5 games right now in back of the Kansas City Royals, who are, by the way, playing stellar baseball, improving to everyone out there who doubted this team, looking at last season, all right, last season was just a fluke. Let's see if they can do it again. Right now, the Kansas City Royals are proving that they, hey, they are for real. The Royals are for real. And, you know, it kills me watching Brad Ausmus sometimes, man. I don't know what to think of the guy because sometimes he makes decisions that certainly can be criticized. And, you know, you scratch your head and say, what is he doing there? But it seems to me Brad Ausmus just goes in these press conferences and just looks confused at times. Just, you know, like he doesn't have a handle on this team at times. He has no solution. He just says the same thing. Okay, we got to play better. You know, we got to stay positive. It's the cliche answers. Right now, I don't know if Brad Ausmus is going to survive as manager of the Detroit Tigers. Because right now, if I had to call it right now, I don't think this team is making the playoffs. I must say it. You know, I said wild card a few weeks ago, but right now, I don't even know if they're going to make a wild card spot. They're playing that bad right now. If they don't make the playoffs this year, I'm going to say it. I think you put Brad Ausmus on the hot seat.
We were listening to Current State right before the show that comes on before us. Mm-hmm. There was an interview, and yes, it was said on that Brad Ausmus was not on the hot seat. But come on. This is a team with good, quality players. You look at how Alfredo Simon started the season. He's a good pitcher. He really is.
Yeah.
But recently, he's been gosh awful. And the Tigers just have not been able to put it together. They've got Iglesias playing great, JD playing great, Miguel playing great. And of course, Miguel's injured now. But that's only been for a couple of games. And yet, they could never win even with those guys. I mean, they could win, but around 500. Every other game they'd win. So, this is horrible. And the Twins, they just lost 3 of 4 to Twins. You talk about that horribly demoralizing loss where the Tigers were up 6-1. 6-1 in mm-hmm. the ninth inning.
Exactly.
And the Twins erupted for 7 runs in the bottom of the ninth. Of course, capped off with a 3-run home run. So, no, the Tigers, I'm sorry, throw your cap on it. I think this season might be over.
It's tough to harp on anything that would, you know, hint towards a turnaround. David Price, you know, he's been the most consistent starting pitcher on the roster. Anibal Sanchez, he needs to continue pitching the way he's pitched recently. But again, you can't, even if these pitchers go out and have great outings, you can't rely on the bullpen to shut the door. They come in and it's like, okay, you know, one run here, another run there, and they're right back in the game. We're definitely going to elaborate more on this on tomorrow's Current Sports. Give me your weekend winner, Isaac.
Al, my weekend winner's got to be Serena Williams, just because I know we talked about it so much, but it's hard not to elaborate more on that. And then the other has to be Chris Froome, who's currently leading the Tour de France, something I'd like to, you know, give a little attention to. He deserves it.
There you go. I appreciate you doing that because I also wanted to talk a little Tour de France as well. My two had to be Jordan Spieth, who won the John Deere Classic yesterday in the playoff hole. Ricky Fowler, he took the championship at the Scottish Open. Of course, the British Open begins this week. I'm certainly looking forward to it. Of course, Serena Williams with her dominance. Folks, we are unfortunately out of time. Thanks so much for all of you out there for tuning in to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a fantastic Monday, and be easy, people.